Welcome back. It's Friday Night Sports Talk with your host, Ray Bishop, on Urban Māori Radio Wate, 6.03 a.m.
Kia ora whanau, nau mahuki maiki tēnei hōtaka. I rungi te wā te ongorau mātori, ko tēnei te ahaura tuarua, o te korero pā i rungi te hākini kino o te ao. Massive weekend of sport ahead for us, and no better person to have a chat with about rugby than Mr. Gini Tanu'u, former All Black number 7, also played for the Blues, still running around on the field now, looking like an exceptional young man that he has always been. We welcome into the Friday Night Sports Talk here on Radio Wāte. Mr. Gini Tanu'u, how are you, brother?
Kia ora, Ray. Yeah, well, what was... We talked about last week, and we talked about the Blues and their performance. Man, where do you start? But again, you know, maybe just preview quickly on last week, and that'll be 2 minutes, and then we can talk about the final. How's that?
I guess if it comes down to it, sometimes, hey, you can be prepared as much as you like. You go into a game thinking that it's going to be incredible. Was it the game that the Crusaders brought to the field that shut the Blues down? Was it? I'm sure the Blues didn't intend to play like that, but that's kind of what unfolded. How would you see that happening in the way that it did, JT?
Well, you and I have been in a few fights in our time, and even in the boxing ring where it's sort of organized boxing, and it's almost like someone came out when the bell rings and this jab is in your face the whole time and you just can't do anything. And that's exactly what it was. And then you just waited till the last round and you had the knockout punch and you're on the canvas with a 10 count and you're gone. And that's exactly what the Crusaders did. They came out with the jab. We could not even get a punch in. We couldn't even fire a shot. And I say we as in the Blues, because of the intensity, the game plan they did, they were in our face, the defense, they were just shoulders on, were hard. The line speed was exceptional. They played outside in, so they boxed us in. We couldn't get out and try and get to our strength of Marcelier or even Caleb Clark, and their game plan worked like a treat. How many times, and we looked at our stats again, you know, out of all the, I had a quick look at this one here, line carries, meters gained on that one there, and the second person, the first one there was Bowden Barrett. I mean, but only because they're saying, well, he's had big meters. No, only because he was boxed in that he had to carry the ball quite a bit because all his options were taken out. And so that was just, you know, just again that detail of what Razor and the Crusaders are doing, and that defense was ruthless, and that just, you know, that just took every bit of wind out of our sails, and you know, you just got to admire when a really good game plan comes to. Not only did they do it in the first half, but they came back in the second half. They ran us over in the first half. They come in the second half, they chucked it in reverse and ran us over again. You know, and it was just a complete performance that, you know, it was just, as a rugby admirer and a big fan of the game, you can just only just admire the tactics, the application, and the intent of everyone, 1 to 23, of that Crusader side, and you can just only just applaud it, because it was just some really good rugby, and you can't say anything like that. So, you know, one thing is doing it once, can they back it up? And that's probably what the other thing we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, well, I guess that's kind of the other thought. So I'm not afraid. I'm sure that the Chiefs will be able to stand up at home. But then there is the question of us: have the Crusaders played their final? I'm sure they've got another cog that they could step up to. But I was really surprised, because I did watch with bated breath actually to see how the Blues were going. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought that they would put up a greater challenge than that. But you know, certainly hats off to the Crusaders. They did everything that you just mentioned. So, you know, my thoughts, let's look ahead to to tomorrow night. Let's look ahead to the Chiefs hosting the Crusaders. How do you see that that one going, JT? What are your thoughts, brother?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a classic a battle of the strongest attacking team, which is the Chiefs, and the meters gains and the tackles, the tries that are scoring versus the probably the most the best defensive team in the Crusaders. And I say defensive without even knowing how they turn over the ball and then they defend. And of course, they scored 50-odd points last week, and I'm not saying anything about that. But in terms of their defence, and you know the big saying, what they always say about finals, is not the attack, it's the defence that will win the championship, and there's no different. That's going to be the one where they need to unpack and find out, and in terms of the Chiefs, about really seeing where that opportunity is. You know, the answer, we always say the answer on attack is always on what you're always looking at the defence, and that's where you find the answers. There's very few areas that you can, there's very few weaknesses that are in that defensive line from both teams, 1 to 23. However, if they've done their homework, and I'm sure they have, how the Crusaders play that outside in, there is opportunity on that far wing. If they come in too tight, that, you know, it'll probably only be a kick pass, or even if they're coming outside in, just getting some cuts against the grain and really targeting in that 17 channel. But again, you know, you've got the likes of Christie, who's the top turnover at the ruck, and then you've got you know, with in terms of the carries and the high tackles. And Mwanga's up there too, and then you've got Goodhue. You know, there's the list goes on about what can, you know, the opportunities on attack and where the weaknesses on the Crusaders' defence, and it's very limited. And it's really is going to be right. It's going to be a bit of an arm wrestle each way, and it's just going to be who's the team that's gonna blink or have that just one person that's just missing at that one time. And this, it's just going to be one of those games that you, and unfortunately that you'll see, if he makes a mistake or he's late or he misses the tackle, once they get him behind, then it's going to be hard to pull it back and scramble to tackle, because both teams are just ruthless in finishing, and they're all great finishers. I mean, you've got All Blacks all over the park, and you got ones that are in the All Blacks 15. So it just makes it all the ideal final. So, and that's notwithstanding what the Crusaders can bring on attack. But, you know, there's a lot of talk on that Chiefs attack. And I just hope that they don't. We saw last week that there's a lot of, you know, attack prowess in their Blues backline, and that was snuffed out right at the start of the game. And hopefully the Chiefs won't be able to allow them to get into that lane or get the line speed or get some hits and stop them from expressing themselves.
Well, I guess, and we can, even though we've jumped to the Crusaders and Chiefs game, the game that the Chiefs played last week against the Reds, was a very tight game as well, which probably put them into, which is probably a good lead-in game to to this game. They had to play 80 minutes. They didn't get it all their own way. You know, with the try scored by Brody Retallick was certainly a show of strength, the ability. Obviously, you know, Damian McKenzie played his part in making that come together. And really interesting to see that it was such a tight game that the Chiefs probably needed against, will need against the Crusaders. And their performance last week, the Crusaders could think that they've kind of got it on a string. I'm sure they won't be taking anything for granted. As I read in the paper today, they've got respect, but there's no fear there for the game against the Chiefs. But I think probably the right lead in that the Chiefs could take from such a strong game. Obviously, the last game for the coaching of Brad Thorne. And I think the boys wanted to, you know, probably do something to honour him. But it was probably a great, tough game, because if even the Chiefs had run away, it may have given them, maybe the opportunity to take the game for granted to some degree. But I guess Clayton McMillan and the leaders inside the Chiefs will probably take it as a great omen to probably do it tougher than the Crusaders did. What are your thoughts, bro?
You're making some really good points. I mean, yes, it was, and like we mentioned, and again, it took a while to break them down, and that was that one little break from Damien D-Mac, and then, you know, they kept the ball alive, and they were just hard pressing on the line. And of course, Brodie Retallick was the one that was the score. That was the one that brought them home, and that was right in the, you know, around the 78th minute of the game, and right at the depth. And this game will be no different. I mean, I can't envision it going to be a big score, but there will be some shoulders on. There will be, you know, and I say, for an example, on Wednesday, you know, one of their key players in the State of Origin in New South Wales just gets it wrong right at the start. Their key player goes out on the third minute, and then it changes the whole dynamic of the game. And again, it could happen again, you know, on Saturday. So it's, and by all sounds of it, the rain is coming from up the north. So, you know, again, tactics and what they're going to play. I suppose that rain will be the equaliser as well if it comes down to Hamilton. And but again, there's going to be the contact area is just going to be vicious. There's going to be some calls because there'll be a lot of competition down. And we've got two of the best fetchers in the game, Christy and Sam Kane. And there's some big carries. You know, will some guys slip up and get it wrong? And there might be someone rattling a chin from a shoulder, and then we get a red card. You know, there's all those different dynamics that come. It's just about keeping a cool head, but that fire in the belly coming out in the field. But it's just made for a great final. And again, it's just, you know, just about there's going to be moments in the game, and you will find we will see. Oh my gosh! And it might be in the 60th minute where it unlocks and think, oh, that's it. That's the one that's going to be the game changer in the whole game. But like with the Blues, you know, that third minute when they scored, you know, that was the game changer right there. And then once the momentum came, 30 points at halftime, there was no going back. So, you know, the dynamic of it is all. And again, being Aucklander going up and playing over in Hamilton, and we've had Shield games there, and even though it was Auckland versus Waikato, it's one of the most difficult places to play. The crowd is right next to you because there's a rugby purpose field. It's a hostile ground. The cowbells will be out. They'll be in fourth. They are the 16th player on the field because, honestly, it's a difficult place, and they'll be out in force. I hear the field is the stadium is sold out, so it's just going to be an amazing event to be part of, especially in the middle.
Mm. Hey, so I wanted to get your thoughts. You know, I thought it was quite, interesting, another consistent showing of the New Zealand rugby to name the All Blacks.
Yeah.
Before the final, I thought that was kind of, it seems bizarre. I do want to get your thoughts on why you thought they did that, and then go through the players that have been selected for now. And your thoughts, is it the team that, you know, will go into the, you know, some of the international clashes prior to the World Cup, or will this be the essence of the team that will take us all the way out to the World Cup? What are your thoughts, JT?
Well, between the two teams, and we're saying the All Blacks 15 as well as the All Blacks squad for the new series that's coming up, I mean, you'd be pretty unlucky not to make any of both of those teams, to be honest. The only one I could see, Hoskins, that sort of missed out on both the All Blacks as an incumbent, and then not even making the All Blacks 15. However, you know, this will be an opportunity for some of them to see them at the different level up, because, you know, some of them have proven, you know, they're justified their selection in. Yes, albeit by injury, but then a lot of guys played their way out of it in the semi-finals, I believe. out of their selection. And because the next level up is obviously it's different at an international level, and really will be that's what they call test. That'll test the measure of the individual and if he is up to it to play at that level at an international level. So where they see them in that squad of 33, I think it was, that was selected, you know, there's some of that already proven, so they'll be there, Sam Whitelock, Sam Kane, Richie Moana. But then again, it's about getting some other guys that have had lots of injuries to get them back onto the field to, you know, to continue to play at a good level. Will Jordan be one of them? And the likes of particularly, you know, maybe Sam Whitelock, but I think they it'd be good to protect them for Rugby World Cup. And might be the likes of an opportunity for Sean Stevenson to come in there and just to see. You know, there was you would have heard Ray as well in the selection. There's no issues with his attack. The question, as we've always said, is about his defence. And that was also reiterated by Coach Ian Foster. But, you know, I just think he's improved in his defence, to be honest. Although he's not really a shoulders tackle, but he's been able to get in there. I've seen a few of those hits, rather than scraggling to the ground, and I've seen a few turnovers. So he's taken it on board, and I think he's. But it's just to be able to do that consistently at a higher level, and that's, you know, maybe that might answer a few questions and you know, if he gets a bit of a go in one of those test matches, and be a fully fledged selected All Black Rugby World Cup.
Mm. Well, it was nice to hear, like, listening with good listening ears, you know, to the naming of the team. He is still going to travel, and I think that's a wonderful thing that he's actually going with the team. You know, I remember when Ari, you know, when Julian was still the Brampton player that he was at one of the previous World Cups before Ari joined the team, and you know, Ari travelled with the squad to be in the environment, which I think is going to grow you as a player anyway, and increase your your love, which is great. So I think he deserves that opportunity. I heard that he was obviously going to try and be cover for Mark Salier, depending on injury. But, you know, even if he doesn't make it, I think it's even just great to travel with those guys. It's going to be cool if he gets to run with the 15s, and that'll be a bonus. I was just thinking about, you know, we've retired some of our incredible All Blacks at, you know, after World Cups. I think Dane Coles is probably in that space. Do you think that Dane Coles is there ahead of Armour because of that reason? Is it injury as to what kicked Armour out? Because I think he's one of the best hookers outside of, you know, Cody and, you know, Takiaho. I think he's another amazing hooker. And shame that he wasn't named amongst that crew. But I would just, you know, he's not, I could certainly think between Cody and Samusoni, you've got all bases covered, but is it the way that we sign our legendary All Blacks off? What are your thoughts, JT?
Yeah. I mean, he's been a great seven. He's got one more opportunity. I mean, it's not the final squad. Hasn't been named again, but, you know, the nucleus of that squad. He does add a lot of value off the field, and also, you know, in terms of preparation of the All Blacks here, you know, he'll be able to, when they do live scrums against each other, and in fact, just to bring that hardness up, because I know what he's like on the ground, on the field, and you know, with him and Cody, you know, in that game against Crusaders in Wellington, I bet you he brings that just to bring the best out of the boys, and just to give that steel focus. A lot of people don't agree with it, but, like, I mean, being an old school, you know, sometimes it's good. Sometimes the trainings are a lot harder than some of the games because, the competition for spots, everybody's going for it. And so when they're doing live scrums and they're doing live contact sessions, boy, it can get quite intense in there. And he's able to do that. I mean, like, in the World Cup squad, you know, he might be on the bench for a couple of them, maybe the Portugal game. I'd say he'll get a run out, but you know, there'll be a bit of a competition on who's going to be the second one. I mean, that's great. It's the same with the halfbacks. You know, they all three of them will be fighting for that spot, and so with the hookers. But I would say that he'll be tapping out, and you know, he's just been a one club man. You know, he's finishing at the Hurricanes. I don't think he's going overseas at this stage, but probably look at maybe doing some commentary. I'm not sure, but he's a true homeboy, and he loves the Tamaki Makaurau. Whanganui Atara down in Wellington, Pōneke. So I think he'll finish on a bang, and I think like some of those boys in 2015, they finished really strong and finished with a win when they finished the final. So yeah, he's been a good servant to the game, Ray, and I think that it'll be nice for him to finish on a good note.
Awesome. And obviously we've got five debutants, that got named in the squad. Let's go through them and give them your thoughts. I thought, Tamati Williams really came on with a history. Yep. Roy, such a big unit.
Yep.
And only 22, and to be of that size and to have that opportunity. Yeah. What have you thought of his season this year, JT?
Oh yeah, I think he's even listening to him on interviews, he's a very confident man. He said, one of the first things is I knew I always backed my ability, and then straight away I knew, like, you know, he's in that environment where he changing from a number eight to a prop is just amazing. But you can see that value in him and his strong carries, and you know, just learning the dark arts of scrummaging. and no doubt, you know, Jason Ryan has been a great teacher for him. So, just added value to everything else he can do, his natural ability and his strong will and confidence has paid off and been rewarded to make it in the exclusive club. Awesome selection.
Yeah, fantastic. And same with Simi Penifino. I've really watched the way that he's honed his game, you know, inside their Chiefs team. Obviously, it helps when the team's winning, but he seems to be one of those players that's not afraid to go beyond the workload required of him. He's always kind of hands up in the air to try and do those extras. He always seems to be present, always seems to be, to make himself available in that in that loose forward position. What are your thoughts on his season this year and his inclusion in that squad?
Oh, to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of, the ones that really come to mind, and he'd be, you know, he's a strong runner, and I can see he's one hell of an athlete. I haven't seen a lot of him on how he plays, and just probably some of the highlights, and he's a strong carrier with the ball, most definitely. And this is only my assessment of it, a bit of both, where one's played his way in, and that's just enough to nudge him through to get up into that space, and not taken away from anything. But you know, that's an area that we've always, you know, not sure who's going to be our six. So we thought we had a couple of sixes in there. Unlucky for the Ethan Blackadder. So you know, he sort of fitted in because he spent lots of time playing consistently there. He's been rewarded with it. On the back of really some really solid performances with the team, and just the way he connects with Jacobson and Kane, you know, it makes it a nice trio, and they complement each other really well, and that's what's rewarded him. And he's a great line-out option. He's got good skills in the air, and he doesn't take a backward step. He's a bit of a tough rooster too.
Fantastic. So obviously, no surprise, because we talked about it and you mentioned, the nature of his performance throughout this year. Cam Roygaard, you know, playing at 20 years old as well, and great inclusion, you believe, as well, JT?
Yeah, I think it's good. I even being in that environment, I must say I was a bit surprised Brad Weber didn't make that three. Only because I feel that he deserves it, and just not only the way that he's been playing, but his leadership would add value to the All Blacks, and again, that competition with the three would be good, because it is a bit of like for like. I think Christy has been going the other way in terms of his performances, and I say that respectfully with the All Blacks and their selection. Quick as lightning, quick, and gets around, but just I just think his form from the Highlanders game has been declining, and I just think that Brad Weber has been, you know, at the top of his game, and I was just, you know, I was really sad that he didn't make the team. But again, it's not the final team to go to the World Cup. But yeah. Cam Roygaard, you know, I'm really pleased on his selection, and you know, it's well deserved. It's no risk. I think it's nice. I think he, Ian Foster said, they're always going to bring someone in with a little bit of difference, you know, because like it's like for like with Christie and Nagy and Smith, but you got someone there to sort of, he's a triple threat. He loves to have a go, have a crack, and he's still got lots of creativity in his game, and he pops up in the right places, and you know, he's not shy of the try line. So you know, that's a really good selection, and that's one definitely for the future. But again, you know, if anything was to happen to any one of those three, Brad Webber would be, you know, the first call they make.
Yeah, no, very true. And then a great game last week. You know, obviously, it's you know, back lines are always going to look impressive when the four packs got them going forward. And Dallas McLeod's inclusion as a result of the and it's not, and not just last week as well. He's been a pretty solid performer all the way throughout. But your thoughts of Dallas McLeod making that that selection as well, JT?
Yeah, I think that combination too with Richie as well is always good, and you know, just doing the simple things really well, carry strong, tackle solid on defence, makes good decisions at 12. And I just think that he's a taller guy, almost looks like a bit of a Sonny Bill, you know, that tall and offload and being able to get through tackles. So, you know, he had a lot of energy. I thought early on, I did notice that he slid off a couple of tackles early on in the rounds, but he's improved in that area, and he's solid, you know, gets a solid shoulder on, and boy, he can carry too. So he's not shy of tucking the ball underneath and carrying, and he knows how to score a try. So no, that's another really good selection. Good to see Anton Leonard Brown back in there. It's, you know, I mean, he's just, since from his injury, he's just come back from strength to strength, and it was interesting to see, like, on the sideline on the semi final, back, you know, it's good to see him up there and with the boys. So, and I hear he's not too far away, so that's a good outcome. You know, he's done his time on the sideline, and you know, wishing him a speedy recovery. He'll be back on the field for Waikato, no doubt.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And in the last conclusion, outside back, I think he's had quite an exceptional season,
hasn't he?
Made easy because of the Chiefs' performances. Imoni Narawa, you know, named in the squad. I'd love to really love to see him with that All Black jersey on, and just to see how, you know, like all of our incredible Fiji wingers that have ever worn the All Black jersey, they grow an extra leg, they become, you know, you're like Superman, and I'm sure this man will be no different. Your thoughts on his performance and his inclusion, JT?
Well, I've been watching him since last year's NPC, and you know, playing at the Bay of Plenty. I mean, he used to make you know, scoring tries out of nothing, and you know, him and Talia were very similar on how they were really creative, and they could see things before anything else. And just the way he finished, the way he was busy coming into the line, and defensively too. You know, a lot of people didn't see a lot of, you know, yeah, wonderful attacking, but his defensive stuff too was outstanding. And he really did play his way in there. And you know, when you're sort of, you know, we lose several rests for there, who's going to try and find who's that other person that's going to come in, and you know, there's a few of them put their hand up, but he was outstanding. And he has to take his back line, but some of them, that, you know, a lot of them he created in his own work, just getting out there and his speed and has been able to finish, and that's what you want, you know, wingers, you know how to finish, know their way to the try line and score try. So no great selection, there's no problem with that. I think he deserved that, thoroughly deserved that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So in closing, my very good friend, Mr. Gino Tanui, give us a prediction on tomorrow night's game when the Chiefs play host to the Crusaders. Game kicking off at 5 minutes past 7 tomorrow night. Who's winning the Super Rugby in 2023, my friend?
I knew this call was coming today, and I knew that you were going to ask this part, and I just was in deep thought. I went down and went and walked my dog on the beach, and I was looking lovingly in my wife's eye while we holding hands and walking down. I was just sitting in the garage just thinking. I thought, okay, so with taking my putting my rugby hat on, I just think the experience is just you're talking about a team that is hot, which is the Chiefs, and then you've got the experience there, and a lot of people that are leaving, there's a lot of emotion there, and I just think that, and hear me out on what I'm going to say, I think that the Crusaders will get across the line on this one. However, I think what the Chiefs have built here this year, they're going to win the next few years. How's that?
That's a great call. That's a great call, JT. As I say, the only thing that's kind of, I think the Chiefs have got the ability to get up, and it'll take 80 minutes to do it. Like you, I guess if they don't get it this year, they're certainly building themselves. But, you know, if they don't get it this year, it means that the Crusaders are also going to go another league as well. So this has got to be the year for them to do well, to beat them three, to beat the Crusaders three times in a row would be phenomenal. And like you say, it's the 15th player that will hopefully get them over the line, because you mentioned being the Blues down there, in Christchurch last week, but it'd been such a hard game, a hard place to play. So, like you, I will take your prediction on the chin, and I think you could potentially be right. But as a part of that as well, I'm hoping that my Chiefs get up, just because it would be seven, I suppose. But, you know, I'm in Christchurch at the moment. I've been down here visiting 13 schools, talking about the Alan Duff program, giving away schools. And, you know, it's been hostile country. but I've just said to the
man. You've been wearing a Chiefs jersey? You've been wearing a Chiefs jersey around?
Yeah, no, I haven't. But it's more that I just left them by saying this. It's going to be a great game. I just think that
it'll
be a great game. And I think whoever wins will be deserved. I don't think there'll be no two ways about it. And I think both teams will probably be beaten by a better squad on the day. So, Mr. Jun,
I just think that, you know, and we know, and looking at it, like, I think the referee is Ben O'Keefe. And that's going to be a really key person too. You know, I'm just hoping that, Ben O'Keefe is Angus Gardner is the first AR, Nick Berry is the second AR, and Brendan Pickerel was going to be the TMO, and just hopefully they just let rugby dictate the outcome of this game, and, you know, just let it flow. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of feeling in there, and I hope that, you know, the best team does win, and only won because they're playing better rugby. And so, you know, I knew you were going to pick the Chiefs, so I thought I'd better go the other side and pick Crusaders. But I'm just looking forward to a really good game. So, let's see how we go.
Let's sit back and enjoy, brother. Junior, thank you, my brother. Toy JT.
All right, my brother.
We'll talk to you next week. We'll talk about the winning teams and predictions that we made. All the very best. Have a great week, brother.
Yeah, take care. Brother. All right, safe trip home, bro.
All right, there you go. But always great to have the wonderful thoughts of Mr. Junior Tunu'u on the games, the Super Rugby round last week, and then to have a look at that All Black team. Coming up next as well, we're going to welcome into the show here Rangatira or Panaki Tana Whakaro. Tēnō koi ia Tana Whakaro te kēmu, ia kēmu o te aoha kina kina. We'll welcome into the show Mr. Tommy Te Rangi, and we're going to have a chat about probably similar things. We'll kick off our kōrero probably around the magic of the Vodafone, well, the number, was it, One New Zealand Warriors this year. Welcome into the show.